Don Ginzel from the Minnesota Department of Health, who will be speaking about an ongoing syphilis outbreak among drug users in a small county in Minnesota.
Good morning. I'm going to start by giving a little bit of a background of syphilis in Minnesota and then talk about kind of how we do our outbreak response and then move into where we're at with this outbreak, which is still ongoing. Early syphilis in Minnesota, which for those of you that don't work in STDs regularly, are the stages of primary, secondary, and early latent, and the most infectious stages of syphilis. Over the past 5 years, we've seen a 160% increase in early syphilis cases. This is not horribly different from the rest of the country. And historically, most of our early syphilis cases have been men, so 90% of them. And of those men, roughly 95 to 96% are men who have sex with men. That was how the picture of syphilis in Minnesota used to be. Most of our early syphilis cases have resided in the Twin Cities metro area, so it's a seven-county area with the cities of St. Paul and Minneapolis. And all of our early syphilis cases in greater Minnesota have had some sort of link back to a case in the Twin Cities area. It's not unusual for people to travel back and forth between the cities and parts of greater Minnesota, and some of those can be several hours of driving time. So over the last decade, we've seen a 430% increase in early syphilis cases in Minnesota. Part of that is in the last few years we've seen some increased awareness due to some outreach that we've done. So some of the cases are now classified earlier, so we're actually catching them earlier. If you take a look at our late cases, they've gone down. But that's a pretty significant increase. So in Minnesota, for syphilis outbreak detection, we have an outbreak response plan, and we just revised it in February of this year. I'll hear a little more about that later, but part of that response plan, in order to determine whether or not we have outbreaks of syphilis going on, include weekly meetings or chalk talks among myself, I'm the STD surveillance coordinator and epidemiologist, and our disease intervention specialists, those staff that interview all of our syphilis cases. We talk about the open syphilis cases, cases that they're interviewing, see if there's any links. We talk about who they've interviewed, who their partners are named, and I provide updates on current data so they know what we're seeing in all of the cases. I also do a monthly analysis of syphilis cases, reviewing case charts and data that we have reported. So the beginning of our outbreak, and I should have probably called this in a small community because the county is 25,000 residents. The actual community this is located in is 1,000 residents. And they haven't had a case of early syphilis in over 20 years. It started out with a secondary syphilis case that was reported in a mail. It was reported in March of 2016. The case refused interview, and the information we had from the providers was fairly limited. We didn't have another case in the community until June, which was also a secondary syphilis case in mail. Now, this is kind of what we usually see, so we weren't too concerned because a lot of times those cases, I said, are linked to the Twin Cities metro area, and we have a lot of syphilis cases there. They also refused interview, so our DIS could not speak to either one of these. The third case caused us some alarm. We had a female who was diagnosed in early August. She also was secondary syphilis, so that's the rash stage of syphilis. She was diagnosed at the delivery of her baby. She had no prenatal care, and the fourth case was then a congenital syphilis case. So after the first two cases, in our weekly meetings, we started talking about what might be going on, if there was any apparent links. We couldn't find any links among them. We didn't have any documented risk factors among them. We didn't know what the gender of their sex partners were, so we had two male cases that didn't know the gender of their sex partners. Upon the report of the female case, we started a possible cluster investigation. She named several partners, none of who were the first two partners, or first two cases. We declared an outbreak formally in February of this year when links among three small clusters were identified, and part of that has to do with the way our old outbreak response plan was written and how our new one was. Our outbreak response plan was in effect for 1 week. So part of how we determine outbreak response is reviewing all the data, and once this plan gets put into place, we look at the data for surveillance as well as our DIS interview data. We conduct weekly meetings of the outbreak response team, which includes members of staff from all over our health department and any affected community members and all of the DIS and epidemiology staff. We formulate how we're going to do outreach response, epidemiology updates, weekly case reviews by myself. What we determined we needed to do during this was forecasting outreach events. We developed materials and did some syringe and Narcan distribution, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. So we had four testing events in the small county, four different parts of the county. We offer rapid syphilis testing, HIV testing, and hepatitis C testing. We tested 66 people. Three of them were positive for syphilis. Two of them we had contacts that we had been looking for, and they were treated, and we had 10 hepatitis C positive cases. We offered pregnancy tests, syringes, educational materials. We did blood draws for anyone that was a rapid positive for syphilis. They were also treated, and they got an immediate DIS interview on site. So our case definition is actually any reported case of syphilis diagnosed in 2016 or 2017 that resides in the small county, or a reported case of syphilis that's epi-linked or a sexual contact to a case that's part of the outbreak. This is our epi curve. You can see we had quite a number of cases in that time frame before February, but because of the lag time in reporting from diagnosis as well as interviewing, we had little information until probably towards the end of the year. And I will say this is now also out of date. So as of May 25th, we had 38 cases. 21 of them are female. 6 of them were pregnant on their diagnosis. We did put screening recommendations in, which is helping to identify some of our pregnant female cases of syphilis. And then 31 of them are actually reside in that small county. But we do have links to the Twin Cities, very few of them, and three are in neighboring counties. The bulk of the cases are between the ages of 20 and 34, although we do have some that are younger and older. And I apologize for the pie chart, but you'll notice that 32 of the cases are American Indian. We have 4 cases that are white non-Hispanic, 1 case that is Hispanic or Latino, and 1 multiracial. We have 9 cases that have a history of hepatitis C or a current hepatitis C infection. One of the cases, or a couple of people that tested positive at the event, did not have syphilis. You'll notice that most of the cases have been diagnosed as an early case of syphilis. One case we don't have a duration on. We have 1 congenital case, and we have 3 that are still not staged. 29 of the cases had admitted or known drug use, either heroin, meth, both, or a prescription opioid, and 8 cases had no admitted or known drug use. And by known drug use, somebody else told them that they used drugs with them. Several of the cases are either in jail or prison or have a history of incarceration, and 23 cases have named multiple sex partners. So far, we've had 101 named sex partners within the outbreak. So right now, we're meeting every 3 weeks with the outbreak response team more frequently if more information becomes available. We're starting some long-term planning for the community that this is in. The outbreak is not over. We have weekly surveillance case reviews. I talk to our DIS almost every day. Every time he interviews somebody, I talk to him immediately, or if he gets case reports to him before we'll even have a lab report in the office. And as I mentioned, we're doing long-term prevention planning. Some of the successes we've had is easier case detection with our chalk talk schedule. We also had immediate case updates from our DIS. We've developed working relationships with the jails, tribes, and clinics in the small county, and one DIS actually interviews most of these cases because he's assigned to all of Greater Minnesota, which is a large task. He has a good rapport with the clients, and it helps with easier case linking. The challenges we have with our outbreak is population at risk is hard to locate and interview. So far, They fear the DIS is part of law enforcement, and there's a variety of reasons they're unable to be located. And we have 4 outbreaks going on in Minnesota right now, and it's an intensive process with a lot of staff. So I'd like to acknowledge my colleagues that have done tireless work. Tim, DIS extraordinaire, has done a vast majority of these interviews. We wouldn't be where we are without him. Thank you.